in the cross. Be my glory ever. So we have gathered here to remember the sacrifice of our precious Lord Jesus. So we'd like to begin this time with considering some thoughts of the love of our Lord. We today can all be participants in the love of God, as we have been adopted into the family of God. What a wonderful privilege that is. 1 John 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Isn't that wonderful? And so every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So how do we describe this kind of relationship? How do we think about this relationship of the kind of love that God had for us, in which he sent Jesus to die for us? How is it? How can we think about this? So I'd like for you to picture with me this. Picture with me a father holding a toddler in his arms. And the mother enters the room, and so the two parents warmly embrace each other. Now, Junior enjoys being in the center of this affection, and so he puts his arm around each so that he can, because he is enjoying this experience, and he's not quickly finished with this very delightful process. Now, you see, Junior had been enjoying the love of his father. But there is now an additional dynamic that is present here. And so what is that dynamic? What is additional here? Does it have to do with the being part of the relationship between the father and the mother? Could we say that perhaps it's the spirit of their marriage relationship? And so I don't want to in any way trivialize God's love at all. But I do wonder if this is a little bit of an analogy for us as we try to think and understand God's love for us. You see, there is this deep bond of relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And this relationship that exists between God the Father and God the Son is expressed in the essence of his Holy Spirit. And so perhaps the Holy Spirit is part of that relationship. And I think we've all experienced this. You've experienced coming into the presence of two people who care about each other, and there is a warmth there. And there is something that happens. And I would like to suggest that perhaps, and I'm just trying to think this through, and I don't understand it all, but I'd like to think that perhaps part of this is how we can be part of the warmth of this relationship. And so today, we are invited to participate in this warmth, the warmth of the relationship between the Father and the Son, as expressed and manifested through the Holy Spirit. And so I'd like for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 17. And as I think about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son in human form, there is so much that is in this prayer. We see this prayer as being different than the prayer of desperation and agony in the garden. But that's okay. It was at a different time and a different place. But It was at a time when Jesus just poured his heart out to the Father, how much he cared for him, how much he cared for his disciples. And so as we think about how Jesus cared for his disciples, I would like for you to personalize and think about and substitute your own name, or think about how you fit into the persons that Jesus was praying for. John 17. I believe I will read this prayer. Please pray this prayer with me. These words spake Jesus, and lifted his eyes up to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And today that means you and me. It means each of us. And the prayer is this, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold thy glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What eternal love. What free love. The love of the Father. But what if we have never experienced the deep love of an earthly Father? Is there hope for me? Can I experience God's love in a real and tangible way? I believe we can. I believe we have met to experience God's love today. The Amplified in 1 John 3 says, "See what incredible quality of love the Father has given or shown us that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. Today it is a wonderful privilege to be a child of the King. It is an amazing privilege." And so this scripture has been written for all of us. I'm thinking of words of encouragement to age groups that are listed in the prior chapter in 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14. This is a scripture that Brother David L. preached approximately 50 years ago, after the death of the drowning accident of Floyd Miller in El Salvador. Made an impression on me. I've never forgotten it. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." These are words of encouragement, and they are for each one of us. So today, I believe the Lord Jesus is asking us to remember him. Now, for many others, people are remembered by, there's a variety of ways. But after the person has been gone for quite some time, perhaps the only memory that may be left may be a marker in a cemetery. There are men who have made temples and shrines to worship in and to help them to remember a great leader. But you know, when Jesus said, "Do this to remember me," he did something very simple. He did something that could be duplicated in all parts of the world. It could be duplicated in churches of two or three or 10 or 1,000. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." That is to break the bread and share the cup. And what a blessing it is to join in that experience today. "This do in remembrance of me." You know, God was surrounded by tens of thousands of angels in the heavens who could honor and worship him. But he chose to redeem sinful men, because he wanted men with free will choice to say, "I want to honor and worship the Lord." And this goes beyond my ability to understand, but today I simply believe and I want to worship him. Let us do this in remembrance of him. I invite you to kneel prayerfully. Our dear Heavenly Father, our hearts are just filled with deep gratitude this morning. Gratitude for who you are. Thank you that you are the creator of the universe and you planned for the wonderful plan of redemption before the foundation of the world even. And we thank you for this gift, the gift of your sacrifice. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son Jesus that you sent to die in our stead, who took human form and some human limitation that we don't fully understand, but we know that there was this time that Jesus served on earth that was different. And so we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that for this amazing gift. And we don't understand how all of your greatness, gracious God, works. We don't understand all of this, but we choose to worship and to believe and accept your sacrifice for our sins. In fact, the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. And so it's more than I can comprehend with my little mind, but you've asked us to gather this morning to do what you've asked us to do, and that is to remember, to break the bread and share the cup. You've asked us to do this until you come back to receive us to yourself. And so we have gathered in obedience this morning, and we just simply ask that you anoint this assembly with the witness of your Holy Spirit. We wait upon you for your blessing, the blessing that only you can give through Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we also ask you for your comfort and your blessing on the Yoder family and for the many who are grieving this great loss. Thank you that you've given us hope through the power of the resurrection. And we celebrate that, the blessing of that sacrificial death this morning as we break the bread and share the cup. Through the name and the blood and the power of Jesus. Amen.